Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and I'm so glad to hear you this morning. We even have Alaska, and I think I heard Maui, Hawaii. So we should have a really good representation. When I go into the office today, because we have noon prayer, they'll have a report for me that's very, very accurate. But as you know, I have a little chart here, and I mark off everything that I hear. I'm so glad to have every one of you. I heard Circle C Ranch, and I know that's my friend in North Dakota, Trish Linehan. So welcome to every one of you. Snowy Minnesota, you signed on. So many of you have had really winter. We've really down here in my part of Missouri, we've kind of escaped it. I know those of you in Kansas City area and north, you have not. We welcome everyone, and we're so glad to have you on today's call, and trust that you're all nice and warm and toasty. This is a prayer call for Israel. And so many things this morning, as I checked on the news, those things have come up again and again, and we all know about the border at Gaza, and we all know about the threats from Iran and Hezbollah. One of the things this morning that was most prevalent was anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism around the world. In England, Prime Minister Theresa May remarked that she was so shocked to hear of anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. She never thought she would see the opposition Labour Party being accused by a former member of anti-Semitism. And here's her quote. "I never thought I would see the day when Jewish people were concerned about their future in this country," she said in Parliament. "And I never thought I would see the day when a once proud Labour Party was accused of institutional anti-Semitism by a former member of that party. On Monday, seven Labour lawmakers quit over leader Jeremy Corbyn's approach to Brexit and a row over anti-Semitism, saying Britain's main opposition party had been, quote, hijacked by the machine politics of the hard left. We sometimes have people on here from England, from that part of that country, of our world, and praise the Lord, England had the most marvelous opportunity to bless Israel, and they did bless Israel. They were the ones who set under Allenby, who actually took back during World War I that land from the Ottoman Turks, who had been ruling over it for 400 years. But then, and I studied a lot about this, because we have a wonderful book. I don't know how many copies we've got of it left, but it is The Prince and the Prophet. And it's a book about Theodore Herzl and about how influenced he was by a British clergyman, who saw and believed and really was the only one that believed in him at certain times and convinced him that he was a prophet of God and that he, Theodore Herzl, was doing the will of God and came forth at the right time. And so that's a good book if you'd like to get it from us. I'm not sure how many copies we have of it left. I'm not sure what the price would be, but you can go online and ask about The Prince and the Prophet. See about The Prince and the Prophet there. I'll alert our people, and maybe we can have some answers for you. Marvelous book. So England has been used by God to so bless Israel. But then, when there were those in London, very pro-Israel, there were those in the Cairo office that were very anti-Israel. Anti-Semitic. And so what happened before the Balfour Agreement, which gave England a kind of a watch over Israel until they could become a nation on their own, and then actually they failed miserably. So if you are from England, if you have roots in England, if you that's a country that needs prayed for, because right now what's happening is we're in a time called the Judgment of the Nations. It will, of course, end with the nations gathered before the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 25. But right now, it's those nations that bless Israel will be, and we're just about ready. I was just so cognizant this morning of how soon we're going to come to these things, how soon we're coming to the end of this age, how soon we are to when Jesus gathers the nations before him. And so the nations that we're in, of course, we're in the body of Christ. There's three groups of people, the Jews, the nations, and the church. And we who are in the church, of course, we'll be changed. Our bodies will become like his body. We will be going up in the rapture of the church. And bless the Lord, but here on the earth, earth will go on. Earth will go on into its millennial age, and those nations that go into that age will be blessed of God along with Israel. They will have longevity restored to their bodies. Now, that was England. But this is the United States I'm going to talk about right now. I'm going to throw in something else that I saw. In Ukraine, in one of their biggest malls, up on the wall is our flag, swastika flags. Anti-Semitism, this is another article, the anti-Semitic actions and consequences of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Of course, you know she got into hot water. Because somebody questioned her. I'll just read what the paper said this morning. This was from the Jerusalem Post. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar apologized last week after pointing an accusatory finger at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is better known as AIPAC, saying that organization is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel. Omar made the comment in a tweet on Sunday evening, American time, sparking immediate backlash, with Twitter users accusing Omar of going down a slippery slope by linking AIPAC with the negative anti-Semitic stereotype of Jewish people's false obsession with money. She was posting in response to a tweet by follower Glenn Greenwald, who said that, quote, "It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans." Here's what she tweeted back. "It's all about the Benjamins, baby." Of course, that means Jews. The chairman of AIPAC said, "It is shocking to hear a member of Congress invoke the anti-Semitic trope of Jewish money. Instead of clearing the air about the previous anti-Semitic post, Omar continued with the response, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby." And then they said, "Who?" And she said, "AIPAC." So, anti-Semitism, though it's pretty rife in Europe, it's here as well. And we, in the United States of America, we have the responsibility to pray for our nation, to believe for our nation, and to see that people don't get into office in our nation who are anti-Semitic. The Lord says in his word, what is anti-Semitism? Anti-Semitism is, now actually, Shem, Ham, and Japheth are the three sons of Noah that got off that boat. And so anti-Semitism, if you just took it to its regular, its word, you would have to say all those who are descended from Shem, as the Jews are. But it's come to mean only the Jews, because after all, Iran are descended from Shem, and so are the Arab nations. So it has come to mean Israel. What is it? It's actually God against Satan. Excuse me, Satan against God. It's Satan against God. This Bible is full of promises about the earth and how during the millennium it's going to go, the mountain of the Lord's house, that's Mount Moriah, will be raised up above all the mountains in the earth, and the truth, the law will go out of Zion. It will be, this earth will be governed out of Jerusalem. I thought this morning about the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel from chapter 36 on is prophetic. Very marvelous book. And so we see in the restored earth, We see when God has restored Israel, starting to chapter 47, he talks about the millennial temple. The millennial temple will be built by the Messiah. I think the Jews probably will build what they call a third temple, but that will be defiled. It will be defiled by the Antichrist. But the Messiah is going to build a temple that is described from chapter 40 on in Ezekiel. So marvelous, so amazing, that really it's almost beyond man's capabilities to even think. Now, this is speaking of the temple. Chapter 47. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. These waters got ankle deep, knee deep, and became rivers to swim in, and they are going to flow down to the Salt Sea. We call it the Dead Sea. And they're going to flow down, and even all the fish are going to come alive. And then God's going to divide the land according to the tribes of Israel. Verse 21, Ezekiel 47:21. He shall divide this land according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourn among you. And then we're going over to the very last of the book of Ezekiel. And this land, this is chapter 48:29, which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. And these are their portions, saith the Lord God. So the promise of greater Israel is divided. And you could read, he's so specific in where the borders will be exactly during the millennial age in Ezekiel chapter 48. And then it speaks of the city. The city, of course, is Jerusalem. And he speaks of the gates. And he speaks of how large the city will be. And the end, the very last verse of Ezekiel 48 is, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. We know that better as one of the names of the Lord, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. And so now, here we are in this time, and here we are when anti-Semitism is rife. It's growing larger and larger because Satan, he doesn't like these promises of God. He doesn't like what has been spoken of who will have the reign here, all the promises of God concerning Israel. So throughout time, he has risen in men's hearts, men who allow him to do so, hatred of the Jews. Oh, when I think about, I've been reading a lot lately about the Roman Empire and how horrid it was then for the Jews and also for the Christians. Sometimes we think we live in the most horrid times, but for the Jews, the most horrid times have been the Spanish Inquisition, the Russian pogroms, the Holocaust. Horrid, horrid times. And all of these times are satanic. We're told that God has watchmen in the earth. This is the Messiah's cry, actually, in chapter 62 of Isaiah. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp or a torch that burns. And the nations shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Jehovah shall name or shall pronounce. We know by putting Isaiah chapter 62 over with Ezekiel that the new name, at least one of the new names, is going to be Jehovah Shammah. And then he mentions other names here. You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken or desolate. You shall be called Hephzibah and Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. And then he says, and here's where we come in. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. You who are the Lord's rememberers, you who lift up the Lord's promises, not that he forgot, but we lift them up in prayer. We take these very scriptures and we remind the Lord, you're going to make Jerusalem a place in the earth. Look here at verse 7. Give him no rest, King James says. It's actually the Hebrew word silence. Give him no silence till he establish, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's what we're going to do right now. Right now, we're going to lift up unto him according to this scripture. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, we worship and adore you. We thank you, Father, that it is written, you are going to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You are going to make the waters flow from that temple, even down to the Dead Sea. You are going to establish a new heavens and a new earth. And you said in your holy written word that as sure as you do that, his people, Israel, will be a nation before you. Oh, dear Father, dearest Father, our hearts are troubled, especially troubled. We're troubled when we see any anti-Semitism in the world. It grieves us, Lord. But when we see it right here in our nation, when we see that a seat in the House of Representatives, that seats are anti-Semitic people who occupy them, Father, we cannot have this. In the name above all names, we repent for this. There's a large group of people organized that are repenting today across this nation for killing babies, for aborting children, for murdering babies. And Father, in the name above all names, we would repent for any anti-Semitism, for turning away, God, that ship in 1938 to St. Louis that tried to bring people to our shores to escape Nazi Europe. Oh, Father, we know that we've been so blessed by you, that you've helped us to bless Israel. You've helped the United States of America to bless Israel. But, oh, God, in the name above all names, for those times when we have been a curse, when we have not let the people into these shores, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to put it under the blood, Lord. We put it under the blood. Oh, Father, in the name above all names, we would pray for the President of the United States of America and Jared Kushner, as those who right now are supposedly coming up with a peace plan, which we know will come to no avail. God, in the name above all names, we do not want to be a party to the division of the land. We do not want to be a party to the division of Jerusalem. Oh, Father, in the name above all names, we do thank you that this president of the United States of America, this president, Donald John Trump, has been a blessing to Israel more than any other president we've ever had. Father, we lift him up. We lift him up to your counsel in this matter. We thank you for every good step he's taken. And we ask you to protect him from steps opposite God's plan for Israel, your plan for Israel. Oh, Father, we are so cognizant of the fact that Ishtiho Samalatino no Kobre, Ilavarado Shena Makara Kalakadanya, that those who take part in what you said, that you're going to make Jerusalem a troublesome stone, and those who bother themselves with it can cut themselves to pieces. Lord, we would not be cut to pieces. Look at Father. We're representative today, and we would hold up to you, Father, that we are representative today. And we are representative, Father, across this country and with our dear Canadian brothers and sisters and other nations who we can tell signed on. When I go back, I can see that they signed on, but they didn't identify. Holy Father, in the name above all names, we would stay with God's word. We would stay with your revealed will. And Father, I was just reading in the Psalms yesterday about the wicked, and not to be discouraged when you see them rise up, because they are rising up so that they can be judged. I do know, Father, that much of the wickedness that is being exposed right now is being exposed for you to judge it. And Holy Father, I sense to ask you to judge it quickly. Istohodaba la maratino, ki frandor shananye igalabrate, se te de makahaladanye itaprotish kotonye. Just all pray with me right now in the Spirit as we lift up particularly our own nations and their attitude toward Israel. Canada, Canada, intercede for your nation. I know you do. Ilabaro mashe telitanio, kafrutiso bronde hishano no nombre kelekalati. Father, we lift up Ibaradandia, our leaders. Kishohono Maria, Father, I lift up the pastors. Oh God, there are pastors who are anti-Semitic. Some of them know it and some of them don't. Some of them, they're just so ignorant, Father, of your plans for Israel. I'm asking you, in pastors who have a heart, an honest heart toward God, but their heads don't see it, I'm asking you, Holy Father, we're asking you, together, we're asking you to get to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him as to God's will concerning Israel, so that they can be blessed and their congregations can be blessed. Oh, halabarati fratishko. We do lift up Indomarata, the dear body of Christ. Ilimarande, and we lift up the leaders of the body of Christ. Praise your name. I know you can do this. I know you're willing to do this. Isholo maharia bakala kaladino no nombre kileta davra bastiano no nombre. I read in the Jerusalem Post today of a man who was brought up in Israel. Actually, he was brought up in Jordan. His father was 3 years old when this happened. His father was 3 years old when the Arabs said to the Arabs living in Israel, get out of our way, move out. We're going to take over the land and we'll give you everything we get. Well, they moved out and the Arabs didn't take over the land. So there were a lot of people then who lived in refugee camps in Jordan, and this man's father was raised in a refugee camp in Jordan, and he thought that, he always was taught, he said that Jews were pigs and monkeys, apes, and he was taught hatred of them. And then he found out that his grandmother was a Jew. And suddenly, everything changed for him. He even changed his name to Mordecai. and a rabbi helped him. And I have a friend, Max, you all know about him. I wrote about him in my book. First of all, and the Awakenings. And he was brought up to believe that his hated Jews, and his grandfather had the deed to land in Beit Shan, but they were some of the ones that had fled. And God dealt with him. Oh, I don't know if I told you this or not. I think I may have told you last week. Did you read my blog about being in Washington, D.C.? And to read the blog about the man who was formerly, he was Prime Minister of Ethiopia. And he said, I was mean. I was the most terrible person you ever saw. I was a hard communist. I was a guerrilla fighter in Ethiopia. I was an atheist, did not believe in God at all. He eventually was into prison for 12 years. And in prison, Jesus appeared to him. The first, he was in shackles in prison, in solitary confinement. And he said one night, it was like a light came through the wall in the shape of a man, so bright he hardly could see. And he said, I'm Jesus. I am the only one who can set you free. Follow me. And he said that night he thought he was hallucinating. The next night, Jesus came back. I am Jesus. I am the only one who can give you life. Follow me. And he thought about it, and he thought, no, I can't do it. But then the next day, the third day, all the day long, he thought about it, and he said, if you are Jesus and you are God, come again tonight. And Jesus came that night with the same words, and he said, I will follow you. He knew absolutely nothing about Jesus at all. So a nurse came into his cell, and he said, how do I find out about Jesus? And she brought him a Bible. The first verse he turned to was in Psalm 119. He just opened the book, and it came to I think it's verse 71, but it said, in my afflictions, I learned your statutes. And he knew. He said, now when people ask me how was prison, I say it was a blessing. He's the sweetest man now. Shelley and I happened to be standing. We heard him at the National Prayer Breakfast. He was in the group, one of the side groups, you know, that was a pro-Israel side group. And it was one that I had a few moments to speak there. But he was the blessing of the night. He said, I hated Jews. I don't have any reason to hate them. I just hated them. See, it's that innate thing that he gives to those that don't know God. Satan does. But then he said, I love the Jews. And he told us this account. He said, now, of course, eventually God did get him out. And he's such a sweet man now. He lives in Denver, Colorado. And he said, there's a small church in Ethiopia. He's Ethiopian, I think I told you. A small church in Ethiopia. And in that same town, there was a large mosque. And the people in the mosque, there were 300 there praying. And through the wall, there came Jesus and told them who he was. With the same words, follow me. They fell prostrate, all of them. And then they said, how do we find out about Jesus? And someone said, we could go to the church. Those 300 Muslims started out running toward the church. The people in the church, the few Christians there, got so frightened because they thought they were being attacked. But they did get things sorted out, and they led them to the Lord, and the whole congregation then turned to the Lord Jesus. So many things are happening. So many wonderful things are happening. And at the same time, the darkness is growing darker. But we don't want to let it grow dark in our areas. I'm going to tell you another story. My friend Elizabeth used to be Pruitt, and then she married Roger Sloan. She called me last week. And she told me about this case. She used to go down to Mark Hankins' parents' church in Louisiana, B.B. Hankins and Velma. She used to stay in their home, and when she stayed in their home she preached, she got to know their congregation. And one of the ladies in the congregation became a lifelong friend of Elizabeth. And this lady called Elizabeth just last week. Elizabeth called me, and she said that she was standing in a line, a checkout line, and a man behind her said, the Lord sent me to tell you not to worry about your sons. They were born again when they were children, and that's in them will come forth now, and they will be right before the rapture. They will be right with God before the rapture. You don't need to preach to them any longer. Stop preaching to them. So she paid, and then she turned around. The man was gone. She asked the clerk, did you see the man? And she said, yes, I saw him, but he just disappeared. One of her sons was into homosexuality. So it was amazing to me. Some people don't believe in the rapture. But this messenger of God told her they will be right before the rapture of the church. So I believe it's getting close to that time, folks. And I remember, too, I feel led to share this with you. Sister Wilkerson said, Jenny Wilkerson, that prophetess, don't be concerned about your loved ones and think in your heart to put off the rapture of the church because you're concerned about your loved ones. He said, every name you name to me, I will make sure they're right with me, even if I have to wrestle them in the beds in the nighttime. So we are getting so close, folks. And that's why the state of our dear nation, the state of staying right with God, the state of our nation being a sheep nation is, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Know in your prayers that as you pray in the Spirit, God is using you to pray about these very things. Have faith in your own prayers. Have faith in praying in tongues. Praise the Lord. And I'll be with you again next week, and perhaps you can tune in with us today at noon. Shalom, shalom.